Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
So if you guys can start turning your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read it, read the whole chapter. So Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read all 18 verses. And I'll be reading it out of the New American Standard Bible. Now it came to pass, about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river and the river Euphrates and all the land of the Hittites and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass this through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. To the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest. And you will give rest and will give you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all of your valiant warriors and all your valiant warriors, and shall help them, and you shall help them, until the Lord gives your brothers rest, as he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. Verse 16, then they answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Guys, God is calling us to grow and mature in our faith. Mediocre Christianity is not in the Bible. And what this chapter did for me this whole week, I mean, it confronted my hypocrisies, it confronted my sin, it quite honestly confronted my immaturity. And I know this is a very prophetic, and I believe this is a prophetic book for us to study as we continue, for those of us that call Sunday nights here home, or that call Refuge home. Is it God in what? This Bible study's been going on for 4 years. And in the beginning, guys, it was exciting, wasn't it, for those of you guys that are on the team? How exciting was it? Very exciting. Relationships were being cultivated. And I mean, God used the beginning of this ministry for awesome things. But God's call for us is to continue to press in and to grow in our right thinking. And the one thing that God here was exposing the people of Israel out of their wrong thinking was this, and he's exposing us of this as well, speaking from experience. They saw what was happening to them, right? Their leader dying. They saw that what was happening to them, that it was getting in the way of God's plan, when in fact it was actually part of his plan. What caused their faith, and then they thought that what caused their faith to weaken was actually God's tool to build their faith. I'll say that again. Their disappointed thinking had a fatal flaw in it. What they saw as being in the way of God's plan was actually a part of his plan. What caused their faith to weaken was actually God's tool to build their faith. So like God's people were mumbling and grumbling in the journey there in the wilderness, something that should have taken 11 days, guys. 11 days from Egypt to Canaan. That was an 11-day hike. And it turned into 40 years. Why? Because God needed to teach them something. And I believe he's wanting to teach us something here tonight. That's why you will hear the phrase repeated, be strong and courageous. Right? God doesn't have a stuttering problem. If he repeats something, it's because he wants to drill something home to us. To be strong and courageous. And he's trying to zero in on this, that the victorious Christian life is a life of battles and blessings, but it is also a life of rest. I'll say that again. The victorious Christian life is a life of battles and blessings, but it is also a life of rest. It is also a life of rest. You're in here, you don't consider yourself a Christian, you're experiencing temporary rest. You're experiencing, you know, whether it be by substance, by relationship, by stuff that this world has to offer, you're experiencing temporary rest, but God's rest is far more intrusive. It's far more transcendent than anything this world would have to offer. And guys, that's the stuff God's going to be teaching us in this first chapter of Joshua. So our outline is going to be simply in three parts tonight. The first part of our text tonight is God speaking to Joshua, and we see that from verses 1 to 9. From verses 1 to 9, we see God speaking to Joshua. The second part of our outline is Joshua then speaking to the people, and we see that from verses 10 to 12. And then lastly, we see the people respond to Joshua. The people will respond to Joshua, and that's from verses 16 and 18. All right, so moving into our first heading, what is this conversation? What is God here talking about? What is the conversation like between God and Joshua? And the content of what God is telling Joshua is he's simply trying to encourage him, right? Do we remember, for those of us that were last week, like where this book jumps in is pretty bleak. Their leader, and figuratively speaking, their savior has just died. And now Joshua, Moses' assistant, is about to take the reins here, is about to succeed his position. And so by way of encouragement, God tells this to Joshua. God here reminds the promise of the land. We see that from verses 2 and 4. Read that with me. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot says tread, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. I'll just pause right there. I'm going to read that one more time, because that's very powerful. Very, very powerful, okay? I'm going to read that sentence again. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Okay, so we got to understand this in context. Joshua is outside of the land, and God is telling Joshua, he's saying, hey, I've given this to you. Wherever you're going to go, I'm going to give you this land. Guys, did you guys know for those of you guys that are Christians in here, there are spiritual blessings that are at arm's length for us to grab a hold of by faith. Did you guys know that? Did you guys know that by faith there are things, and I'm keeping it broad on purpose because I want the Holy Spirit to apply this to you, that God has spoken a word to you, a hope that he's given you, a dream that he's given to you. And just like he promised this to Joshua, he said, hey, I've already given to you. You just got to go out there and get it by faith. By faith, you just got to go out there and grab it. And the immediate application for us here tonight is, what are those things for us? We know that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so because we have that, that is a promise that we can bank on because of Holy Scripture. What are those blessings that, because of a lack of faith, that we're not taking a hold of? Let's continue on in verse three. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your testimony. Now, do you guys see that phrase, cross the Jordan? Do you guys see that there? Cross the Jordan, okay? So that wasn't no easy task. Jordan literally means the descender. That's what the word literally means. And at this time, because of Joshua chapter 3, verse 15, we know that it was a time where it was flooding. And so just to kind of give you guys a picture of what this river was, or what the Jordan River was all about, or how deep it was, is that in only 100 feet going into the river, it drops 75 miles into the sea. Just 100 feet out, drops 75 miles. And here God is saying, hey, I want you to cross that. I want you to cross that. So when you hear, so this isn't just like a passive, like, hey, I just kind of want you to cross, you know, the moat at Marina. And then when you get to the next side of the moat, everything's going to be chilling. No, this is a big task. And here, God is highlighting the fact that he is in control. What was the theological term that I introduced or that I talked about last week about God being in control of all things? Sovereign. God is showcasing his sovereignty over all areas. God is showcasing that he is in control. Yes, he's telling Joshua, hey, you're going to have to cross this Jordan. You're going to have to cross this river, which is huge. But remember who's in charge. Remember who's the one giving this call. In essence, here God is saying, hey, are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me with the hopes and dreams that I've given you? Are you going to trust me with this? Because I've given it to you already. Will you trust me? And the question tonight is quite obvious, right? Don't have to go too far for immediate application. Sovereignty, we always unpack it this way, right? Life is falling apart. Life is going terrible. Hey, God's sovereign. God's in control. That should be awesome. That is awesome. That is a promise, right? Nothing escapes the hand of God. God's not going, oh my goodness, Rex's life is terrible, so I got to go and fix it. He's not saying that. The way the Lord kind of put his thumb on my heart with this was that regardless of whatever choice, there are some certain things going on in my life where I need to make a sort of a decision. In God's sovereignty, applying God's sovereignty into my situation, God sweetly reminded me that, hey, regardless of what decision you choose, regardless of what you do, I am so in control and I will be there. So as true as the first example was, that life could be falling apart, life is hard, he's in control and he's there. Yes, that's a huge promise. But also there should be a freeing element to God's sovereignty. A freeing element that, man, there's nothing that I can do that can thwart God's promises, that can thwart God's will in my life. God is sovereign. Amen. 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 Should be a warm blanket for the Christian. So that is the first promise. So by God reminding Joshua of the promise of the land, that this is all under the first heading of God speaking to Joshua. God reminded Joshua of the promise of the land, but now the second promise is his presence. This is where we're going to spend most of our time here, right? He promises his presence. Read with me, verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, check this out, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Guys, check this out. God's call to Joshua to be courageous rests upon the assurance of God's presence. I'll say that again. God's call to Joshua to be courageous rests upon the assurance of God's presence. Just alone in this first chapter, Moses is mentioned 11 times. And Joshua's success is guaranteed with the promise that God would be with him just as he was with Moses. Check this out, guys. God will never call us to do anything apart from him. Do you guys realize that? You see why it's a little silly when we start to freak out? God, whenever God calls us to do anything, whenever he puts us in a kind of an uncertain season of life or a hard season of life, you know what what is accompanied in that happening in your life? His presence is accompanied in that. His presence is accompanied in that. Every assignment that God gives you, and this is amazing, because not only does he promise his presence, but every assignment that God gives also is primarily to sanctify us, right? Because it makes sense. The closer we are to Jesus, what happens? Well, the closer we get to God, what happens? Things start to change. So the fact that the very fact that the promise is closeness and nearness with God, nothing just kind of stays the same. We start to behave like someone else. And so the primary means, God's closeness to you and I is the primary means of him sanctifying you and I. Now, just to kind of get down to the grassroots level here. The Christian life is not a skip in a field of daisies. The Christian life is not easy. For those of us that have been walking with Jesus more than 3 days, you will quickly know that sin sucks. Sin sucks. And so because of our sin nature and what we're prone to, God's primary means is for him to, in his nearness, sanctify us, transform us, mold us more into Christ-likeness. Guys, and that's not a painless process. That is not a painless process. A lot of us in here, I'm sure, can identify with how hard certain situations, certain circumstances are in our lives. But remember, in the journey, just like he freed the people of Israel from Egypt and took them 40 years to get to the promised land, God had some stuff he needed to deal with in the journey. And God, in his loving kindness, needs to deal with us, needs to further sanctify us because of just by proxy, by how close he is to us. So again, if God has called you, he is with you. Courage doesn't mean that we're not afraid. It means that we fear God more than we fear our environment. It means that you and I trust in divine resources more than earthly resources, more than earthly wisdom, right? Not negating fear, not negating anxiety. Those things are going to creep up for sure. But it's within the understanding that God is in control, that God is there with you and for me. And so God encourages Joshua by reminding him of the promise of the land, right? And this is all under the first heading. He encourages Joshua by reminding him of the promise of the land, the promise of his presence, and lastly, the assurance that God would keep his word. God will keep his word. Read with me verses 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. That's a clincher there. So that you might have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Right? God speaking to Joshua. What's the phrase that's repeated three times here? Be strong and courageous, okay? And so because this is an exposition on courage, right? Which it connotes the idea that Joshua was timid. Joshua was scared about what needed to happen next. And so because this text is an exposition on courage, God is telling Joshua to be very careful of making decisions based upon human wisdom, based upon personality profile, based upon what at that moment, what culture is saying at that moment. He's saying, hey, I'm going to keep my word, and you're going to like, I want you to stick to that. I want you to stick to the assurance that I will keep my word. Do not depart from it. That's why he says, whether it be to the left or to the right, you're not supposed to go anywhere. Instead of looking around what the people of Israel are saying, instead of looking at to what culture is saying, I want you to look at Moses. I want you to look at the law of Moses. I want you to look at my word and execute my decisions based upon what I have already written. That's why verse 7 says this, to be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, nor to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. God here is very clearly saying, hey, Joshua, if you want to succeed in this, you need to cling on to my word, right? I gave my law through Moses. Consider the law I gave to him. And in that, you will find success. Guys, courage rests upon a focused determination. I'll say that again. Courage, right? Because God is telling Joshua to man up here. He's saying courage rests upon focused determination. Focused determination on what, Isaac? Focused determination on what God has already said. Right? And the reason why I added focused determination is because isn't it common that when things get hard, when pressure arises, that instead of going to godly wisdom, instead of going to the word of God, we start maybe going elsewhere for wisdom, going elsewhere for direction. And God's call to Joshua here is saying, hey, I want you to have a focused determination on my word, right? And so then why can we rest? Why does courage rest here? It's because it's tethered to the infallible, inerrant, God-inspired word of God. It's tethered to God's holy, inerrant word. And so, guys, I'm not going to be doing a lot of illustrative applications because I truly, truly believe that the Holy Spirit, because all for the Christians in the room here, the Holy Spirit's going to apply these things very specifically to you and to me. Because courage rests upon a focused determination on God's word, it can rest and you can be confident because it is tethered to something supernatural. That call to be focusedly determined on God's word is supernatural. So God encourages Joshua by reminding him, right? By reminding him of the promise of the land, the promise of his presence, and lastly, what we just looked at, the assurance that God would keep his word, that God's going to fulfill what he said. And so that moves us into our second heading, right? Joshua now is going to talk to the people. Notice what God has just spoken to Joshua. Notice what Joshua says to his leaders. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Right off the bat, notice how quickly Joshua goes to apply this. He doesn't waste any time. Notice how quickly he responds to what God has said. He says, hey, God spoke to me. God said something. I need to get this out. I need to get this word out. I need to practically apply. I need to obey immediately to what God has said. I'm not going to waste any time in doing so. And then notice, and this is where I kind of want to zone in on here a little bit. In verse 11, notice the expectant attitude in verse 11. Okay? Look there towards the second half of verse 11. Prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days, you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. So he's, right, they're outside of the land of Canaan. They're outside of the promised land. Joshua here is telling his leaders to tell everyone else, is saying, hey, pack up because in 3 days, we're going to be in the promised land. In 3 days, expect to be in the promised land. And it's something that has never left me. If you guys don't know who Zach Martinez is, actually, he no longer goes to this church. He moved far away. But Zach Martinez, when I first started coming here, almost, holy moly, 13 years ago, was one of the men that God used to very, very poignantly get my attention. One of the ways that he got my attention is, as I've shared with you guys before, is that a way that I would connect with God is I would smoke a blunt, half of a blunt, before going to church, and then walking in thinking I would connect with God that way, and then walk out, smoke the rest of it, and that was my spiritual experience back then. Retarded, I know, but that was back then. And Zach, one of the things that always stood out to me about Zach is that in love, he would know, I'm sure he smelled it off of me, but in love, he would always pray for me. He would just blatantly ask me, like, hey, Isaac, how can I pray for you? And in the way that he would pray, he would always thank God in advance for something that hadn't taken place. It hadn't taken place, but he would just thank God, like expecting that God would move. And that always stood out to me. How expectant Zach was in lifting up his request, right? Not negating the fact that we should make our requests known to God all the time. Yes, that's a wonderful privilege that we have in communicating and relating to God. But how different and mind-shifting will it be when we start relating to God in this expectant way? God, I thank you that you're giving me victory over this sin. I thank you in advance that I no longer am going to struggle with this. I thank you in advance. Lord, I expect that you're going to move in a powerful way tonight. And I'm just going to thank you in advance because, you know what? You're a big God. You saved me. You can save anyone. Notice Joshua's expectant attitude in just saying, hey, pack up your bags, guys. In 3 days, we're going to be in the promised land. How expectant. There's a lot that we can draw from that expectant attitude, very simply, even in the way that we pray and even in the way that we relate and communicate with God. Now, I'm going to read verses 12 to 15. I'm going to read verses 12 to 15, but this is kind of referencing something that happened in Numbers 32, but we'll read verses 12 and 15 just to kind of give, just to explain it here a little bit. But verse 12 to 15 says this, to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in the battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them, until the Lord gives your brothers rest, and he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward sunrise. So, the three tribes that are singled out in these three verses had chosen to live on the other side of the Jordan. And this account is seen in Numbers 32, verses 16 to 24, if you ever wanted to do some extra research. But they had promised to help conquer the land before claiming it as their own inheritance. And so him calling out these three tribes is him just saying, hey, he's reminding them of the obligation that they gave in Numbers 32. So that's kind of just slipped in there and just reminding these three tribes saying, hey, like, we're about to step into the promised land. We're going to need you to fulfill on your promise on that. And so verses 16 and 18 are very powerful because we've looked at what God has said to Joshua, right? And we looked at the three things that he pointed out in what he said to Joshua. Secondly, we looked at what Joshua immediately did and what he expected of God to when he was communicating with his people. But lastly, we're going to look at the people's response to Joshua. The people's response to Joshua is quite interesting, and because of time, I want us to look at that in a different way. So verse 16 says, "They answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, and as he was with Moses, anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death.'" Kind of gnarly. "Only be strong and courageous." Now, I kind of want to pause our time here, right? So we're in Joshua chapter 1. I want us to step outside of Joshua 1 and think about from Genesis 1 to where we find ourselves in the beginning of Joshua chapter 1. What is so surprising? What makes this response insane? Or not insane. What makes this response actually, crazy? What makes the people's response to Joshua insane? Looking at Genesis chapter 1 to where we're at today, right? Storyline of the Bible. Does anyone know the answer to that? They actually listened. So, and for comparison, just if you guys have a hard time believing me, I want to read to you Numbers 14, 36 through 38 for a summary of how the previous generations responded to a similar task. Numbers 14, verses 36 through 38. "And the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing up a bad report about the land. The men who brought up a bad report of the land died by a plague before the Lord. Of those men who went to spy out the land, only Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephuthah, remained alive." Just kind of see, and there's tons. That one just highlighted that this call to courage, this call to trust God, this call to step out in faith and trust God and all that he's said and done before, right? From Genesis 3 and on. The freedom of God's people in Egypt. The fact that they were being sustained day by day by a cloud. It was God. But I'm just saying, like, they had such a supernatural, tangible, practical, supernatural experience going on in their daily lives. And yet, they wouldn't get it. Here, where we find ourselves back in Joshua 1, right? So we stepped out of Joshua. Now we're back in Joshua. Here highlights what's before us tonight as I close. See, maybe you walked in here tonight and God's just been tugging at your heart. God's been convicting you of sin. God's been pointing out some immaturities, some hypocrisies in your life, and your response has kind of been the same. Your response has been the same. Yes, Lord, like I'm going to kind of put that off first. I want to get my career going. I want to get my studies going. Not saying anything bad with that, but I'm talking about as far as priorities. And like the people of Israel, your response might have been not good. Your response would have been to grumble. Your response might have been to, you know what, Lord, I know better. I know better, so I'm going to do it my way. Or it was just flat out disobedience, flat out sin. The beautiful thing here, and again, my prayer tonight is that we become a people throughout this study, in the book of Joshua, it's really going to hit home the theme of faith every week. Are we really trusting God? Are we really trusting God with all areas of our life? Because I'm telling you guys, I did some self-check in my life, or God's word kind of had its examination in my life and heart. And I'm telling you, it's a call to grow up. Just kind of honestly speaking, especially for those of us that have been here for a while, it's a call to grow up. It's a call to practically apply all the theology we've learned to now step out in faith and truly trust in this wonderful God that has done everything to make that relationship possible. So will we do that? Will we have that same response here? Will we say, all that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Wherever you send us, Lord, I trust you. Am I afraid? Yeah, totally. But Lord, help me to trust you more. Help me to possess by faith those things that God has already given to you and to me. And that's the crazy thing about this, guys. There are blessings that you and I, if you're a Christian, there are blessings that you and I can get a hold of. The question is, will we respond in faith? Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
That holds me in. This is the day that life